Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Main, for that introduction, and welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a new book that has just been published by Deseret, which of course is a Mormon-owned publishing company, a book written by Robert L. Millett, who is a BYU professor, and also, I might say, he is, in fact, a Mormon apologist. He does write books and speak on issues defending the Mormon faith. Why have we chosen this book and not others at this time? Well, it's because Robert L. Millett has sometimes made people feel that he is perhaps moving towards a more evangelical consensus in his theology. If you were one of those who thought that maybe Robert Millett was moving towards orthodoxy and perhaps leaving his Mormonism behind, then I would strongly encourage you to pick up a copy of this book, because this book certainly will quench any thoughts that you may have had regarding that. In this book, he certainly does show that he is very much loyal to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's very loyal to Joseph Smith, the founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he is strongly encouraging members in the Mormon Church to remain faithful in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In yesterday's show, we talked about what he considered to be false prophets and false teachers, and certainly looking at the definition that he has provided by quoting a man such as Bruce McConkie, who was a Mormon apostle, died back in the mid-1980s, the definition that is given in this book, which is titled Living in the 11th Hour, Preparing for the Glorious Return of the Savior, the definition he gives of a false teacher and false prophet would certainly be a definition that would apply to every professing Christian pastor. There's no escaping this. According to what he has written, he has certainly put every professing Christian pastor into the category of being a false teacher. If you are outside of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you do not have the divine authority necessary to speak. And as we talked about yesterday, on page 22 of his book, he says, I suppose that false prophets could take many forms, but essentially they all are individuals who claim to speak for God, but have not received that requisite divine authorization. And of course, in Mormonism, that divine authorization would be the priesthood authority that only Mormons feel they have. And in making his point, he cites Doctrine and Covenants, section 63, beginning at verse 59, going to 62. I'll just read the last part, where it talks about many there be who are under this condemnation, who use the name of the Lord and use it in vain, having not authority. Now, of course, Robert Millett feels that the only men who can speak for God and have that authority would be the leaders within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He goes on in that chapter to talk about how to recognize the false teachings of these leaders.
He says, if someone comes to us claiming a special appointment, special knowledge that is not available to most members, special training and abilities that entitle him or her to interpret scripture or clarify doctrine beyond what has been given by the authorized servants of God, we might ask the following questions.
That's a great test for determining who's telling the truth or who is telling things that are false. But if I was to come up to you, Eric, and you asked me the question, how can I test a true prophet from a false prophet, a true teacher from a false teacher, and I gave you that definition, couldn't you think that that was talking about Joseph Smith?
That's what I was thinking of immediately, because it's not available to most members that you could interpret scripture or clarify doctrine beyond what was given from before. Joseph Smith comes along and says that he can clarify the churches of his day were not able to do. And so this man had, in essence, new revelation, no different than what he's saying in trying to contrast false teaching and true teaching.
And I think it's important that when we look at this book, we must look at it in the context that I think Dr. Millett is wanting. He doesn't want us to deconstruct what he's saying. He is speaking to Mormons in this book. I also noticed that there are occasions where when he quotes a passage that is very similar to, let's say, from the Book of Mormon or the Doctrine and Covenants, but it's a passage that sounds very similar to something we find in the Bible, he'll quote the Mormon passage, not the Bible. Not always, but sometimes. It's clear, I think, that this book was written for the benefit of members of the LDS Church. This is why I think it's important that non-members of the LDS Church perhaps look at this book if they think that Dr. Millett is in fact getting away from his Mormon roots and moving towards a more Christian consensus. As you said, he lists several questions that a person can raise in order to determine for themselves whether or not something being taught is true or false. One thing that I found interesting was in question number 3. Is the communication in harmony with the teachings in the standard works and those of the living prophets? Well, certainly none of our teachings that we would teach as evangelical Christians or the teachings of Christian pastors, I would say for the most part on the basics of the Christian faith, would not harmonize with the teachings that are found in the standard works and those of the living prophets. That's the whole problem here, folks. We find the teachings that are found in the standard works, and of course we're talking about the standard works outside of the Bible, because the Bible is a part of the standard works in Mormonism. We're talking about the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and Pearl of Great Price. But then when he mentions also the living prophets, well, that's what's been the problem all along. They have been teaching things that we certainly do find troubling and are certainly not within the boundaries of the Bible. So when he says, is the communication in harmony with the teachings and the standard works and those of the living prophets? Well, of course, ours would not be. So if we're going to use his definition of how to distinguish between that which is of God and that which is from either man or the devil, obviously, Dr. Millett would say that if it's coming from the mouth of those unauthorized preachers in those other Christian churches, and it doesn't harmonize with what the living prophets in the Mormon church are teaching, then obviously that must be coming from either man or the devil. Are you getting what we're saying here, folks? Are you understanding what we're saying here? Because if you've been under the impression that Dr. Millett is somehow a closet evangelical, you need to look at this book, because certainly that doesn't seem to be the case. Now, under question number 3, he talks about people. He says, when people claim to have received word that they should join a polygamist cult, and he's using the C word. Now, when we use the C word, we get in trouble. Mormons get all upset, but it's okay for him to use it. And how dare he use that of another group that probably believes more like Mormons than they do evangelicals? Because, well, you know, what do you think he's referring to, folks? He's referring to people like Warren Jeffs, which I always find that fascinating, that the Mormons would much rather cozy up to evangelicals and not cozy up to the polygamous groups that believe more like Mormons than we do. Yeah. I always found that to be ironic. But he says, when people claim to have received word that they should join a polygamous cult or participate in a demonic practice or be disloyal or disobedient to the government, one wonders how they can justify their position. Isn't that kind of what Joseph Smith did? I'm not talking about demonic practices, but being disloyal or disobedient to the government, certainly the practice of polygamy was disobedient to the government. But then he goes on in the next portion.
He says, when others indicate that they have been directed by the Lord to lie or cheat or steal or be immoral, one wonders how such actions can be squared with the teachings of the church.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that exactly what Joseph Smith did when it came to the subject of polygamy? Didn't he lie to Emma, his wife?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you're describing Joseph Smith here.
We did a whole series on the book that two LDS authors wrote, and throughout he was cheating her, he was lying to her, he was not telling her the full truth. I mean, some of the stories are just outlandish.
Oh yeah, and we've often encouraged people, if you have any doubts whatsoever about Joseph Smith's credibility, that would be a book that you should read, and it was written by two Mormon women. But anyway, go on there, where he talks about immoral.
Yeah, he says, we would do well as a people to stay within the rules and avoid the exceptions, especially when such exceptions violate the laws and the order of the kingdom of God. He goes on and he says, we need only remind ourselves that ours is a living church with a living constitution. And in the parentheses is D&C 130.
Which is what? The church that Joseph Smith founded is the only church of which God is well pleased.
Yeah.
Again, would that include your church, Christian? No. Robert Millett think that's including your church?
No.
No, I don't think he does. Not based on the context of the previous paragraphs. He again quotes Bruce McConkie, whose wise counsel, he says, for the saints was given by Elder Bruce R. McConkie when he said, the proper course for all of us is to stay in the mainstream of the church. Stay in the mainstream of the church. This is the Lord's church. And it is led by the spirit of inspiration, and the practice of the church constitutes the interpretation of the scriptures.
By definition, by saying this is the Lord's church, all other churches are excluded from that.
Absolutely. All he's merely doing is paraphrasing D&C 130 that he cites above.
The true and living church.
On page 25.
There can only be one of those. I mean, if Mormonism is what it says it is, the Mormon church is it, and we are not.
Well, get this very quickly. In question number 5, he says, does the communication build our faith and strengthen our commitment? And then you might say, well, commitment to what? Well, he answers that question. There is a litmus test that can be applied, a vital criterion that must be met if a supposed revelation is from God. Get this. We ask such questions as the following. Does this communication build my faith in Joseph Smith and the Restoration? Not build my faith in the truth of the Bible. It's, does it build my faith in Joseph Smith and the Restoration? Do I feel more motivated to serve faithfully in the church and kingdom? Because remember, in Mormonism, the LDS Church is the kingdom of God. Does it buttress my confidence in the Lord's anointed servants today? That would be the living prophets and apostles of the Mormon Church. And in the destiny of the church, which of course the context would be the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You see, that's how you know a positive communication. And this is why, Christian, when you come and you talk to your Mormon friends about the problems you see in Mormonism, this is why they don't take what you say very seriously and why they may even be reluctant to listen carefully to what you are trying to tell them.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.